At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.
Ready for a career in behavioral health? Earn your online degree at Herzing University. Choose from health and human services, psychology, or social work programs. Gain the skills to work, coordinate, and manage nonprofits. Secure a bachelor's in psychology to study mental health or advance your social work career through our online Masters of Social Work. Let us help you become a social change agent. Your future starts now at Herzing University. Text HEALTH to 85109. That's HEALTH to 85109. Or visit herzing.edu.
Welcome to the Dogs Podcast with your hosts, Blake Reniker, Justin Charles, and Josh All.
What's up, Browns fans? Welcome back to another episode of the Dogs Podcast, coming to you virtually today. Josh had some dad duties he had to attend to, so we couldn't get together in the studio. Luckily, it's the year 2024. Who even needs a studio? We should sell it. No. We can put a little bit of dough in our pocket for my Vegas trip. But we got a super fun episode lined up today. Obviously, Browns have the initial 53-man roster cut down, so we're going to give you all our thoughts on who made it, who didn't make it, some of the practice squad guys. So it's a really fun episode as we inch closer to the season. Before we dive into it, remember to get your intros and your voicemails on the show by heading to thedogspodcast.com, tap leave voicemail on the drop-down menu. You can leave us voicemails, thoughts on the rosters, what you guys like, what you didn't like. We like getting your voicemails. I feel like we haven't gotten any in a while. So if that's something you're interested in, make sure you do it. It's super easy. We like getting your guys' thoughts. If you're watching on YouTube, please like and subscribe. Make sure you tap the notification bell so you don't miss any of the new content we're putting out, especially as we're getting closer to the season. You don't want to miss any of our lives, our post-game reactions, and all that good stuff. If you can find us on any social media platform, just search at the Dogs Podcast. You can also find us on Apple, Spotify, and Google. You prefer to just listen to the show. And lastly, if you're looking for more Dogs content, head to jointhedogs.com, become an official Dog Pack member on the Patreon page. You get access to the private Discord. You get to play fantasy football with us, which I believe the league, we're all cut off now, right? We got the drafts all set up. Everything is good to go. So yep. To everybody who joined and you're going to play with us, we are super pumped to have you this year. I think we got 4 redraft leagues and 2 dynasty leagues going on this year. So with the 3 of us are all commissioners on one, and then Kenny Mack's the commissioner of the 4th one, right?
That's correct. Actually, right, no, sorry. I'm over here doing other things. We have 5 leagues. I did the 2nd one. You guys have 1, and Kenny's got the 5th.
Okay. Yep. So we got a lot of leagues. So it's grown every year. Winners get some Dogs merch. It's a good time. Crash talking people from all over the world playing fantasy football. You get access to the private Discord, which everybody loves. You get to be part of the Dog Pack Discord episode. So it's just a good time. Meet a lot of cool people through there. So if you're interested in that kind of stuff, head to jointhedogs.com, become an official Dog Pack member. So obviously big news came out yesterday with the Browns roster cut downs, the initial 53. I'm sure this is subject to change as other people are hitting waivers and all that good stuff. I did see today that nobody that the Browns put a waiver claim in for did they get, and nobody that the Browns cut were claimed off waivers. So I guess in theory, that means the Browns made a good decision in who they cut because no other team wanted them either. But I guess we can just kind of go over the 53 that was, maybe we just start with the offense, kind of talk about the offense, and we can kind of transition to the defense. So, some surprises here, but we kept 4 quarterbacks on the roster: Tyler Huntley, DTR, Deshaun Watson, Jameis Winston. The big surprise here, only 2 running backs, Jerome Ford and Pierre Strong are the only 2 running backs currently on the roster for the Browns. Deontay Foreman was waived, and I think that was a big surprise to everybody. We'll kind of talk about that. Browns currently keeping 6 wide receivers: David Bell, Amari Cooper, Jerry Jeudy, Elijah Moore, Jamari Thrash, and Cedric Tillman. I really thought Mike Woods would kind of be in that spot over David Bell, but the Browns just are really high on David Bell, and maybe they think Cedric Tillman and Mike Woods are similar players. But Mike Woods is on the practice squad now, right?
Yep, him, yes. And Prochet.
Okay. So, and Prochet. 2 tight ends right now, and I saw just before we before we came on here and after this article was written, we did add a third tight end to our practice squad. Kept 10 offensive linemen, very deep. Joel Bitonio, Jack Conklin, Javion Cohen, Nick Harris, James Hudson, unfortunately, Juwan Jones, Ethan Posick, Wyatt Teller, Jedrick Wills, and Zach Zinter, who was pretty impressive in his first preseason for the Browns. So that rounds out the offense. I guess, where were you guys the most surprised?
So for me, obviously, I think my biggest surprise was everybody's biggest surprise. Now, like you said, it's the initial 53. Kevin even said as much. It's not the final. It's a working, breathing, living thing. But the four quarterbacks and only two running backs, I thought was instantly caught my attention. Like, oh, damn, just Jerome Ford, just Pierre Strong, and all four quarterbacks are staying. And then, you know, when the news came out about Foreman getting waived, that had very much Maurice Hurst vibes to me. Because I guess the terminology wasn't even that he was waived. His contract was terminated.
Yep.
So I feel like that was a roster manipulation move to maintain the four quarterbacks. So that way Andrew Berry had some more time to wheel and deal and make a trade after all the, you know, the other cut downs and other teams had a chance to see who was available. My guess is it's Huntley. We'll get to that. But I think Foreman comes back as soon as somebody gets traded. And kind of like Maurice Hurst cut and then brought right back.
From what I know is if you've been in the league less than 4 years from your cut, you go to waivers, which means it's, you know, anybody can get you. If you've been in the league more than 4 years, you just become a free agent. So then we're not, especially if there's already like a backdoor deal in place for Foreman.
Yep.
You know, he can just go home and sit there for a day or two while I would imagine trade a quarterback, like you said, and then re-sign. Because you'd have to think if it wasn't Foreman, they'd already have somebody else in mind. We'd be hearing reports about that they were looking to bring somebody in. I thought maybe like a Pirine was maybe somebody on their radar, but he signed with the Chiefs. I don't think you're not going to go into the season week one with only two running backs. Two running backs that are very similar in style, especially. So I know one thing that made us sad was Aiden Robbins was cut. I felt like the writing was kind of on the wall for that one. The way he was, he didn't get many touches the first game, and then we released John Kelly, and I thought, oh, this is maybe they're going to open the door for Aiden Robbins to get more touches, and then he hardly got any touches in the second one, and then he got most of his touches late in the third game. And if you're playing late in that third game, it's kind of like you're most likely not making the team. So I almost feel like we didn't give him a fair shot, and somebody in the dog pack said that he doesn't seem like the kind of running back that they want to have on the roster. Now we're looking for more. I mean, outside of Nick Chubb, everybody's like a good receiving back. Hines, Jerome Ford, Pierre Strong, all that kind of stuff. So but I felt like I liked what I saw out of him, and I didn't feel like he got much of an opportunity. Obviously I'm not up in practice and all that good stuff, but that was somebody I know that we were rooting for to make the team, or at least make the practice squad. So to see him not even anywhere in Cleveland is, that hurts a little bit. What do you guys hear on the quarterback? I heard we were fielding calls for Jameis and for Huntley and DTR and all this stuff. I know I've been on the show, even as recently as I think as last week, saying I'd rather keep Huntley than DTR because that's who I would trust to win a game. If, you know, God forbid Jameis and Deshaun were both down week one, who would I feel more comfortable starting week one would be DTR or Huntley. And I said Huntley. But man, I know it's against guys that aren't going to be on the team, but DTR just looked better than mm-hmm. Huntley did. And I feel like he, especially being a draft pick, I feel like he played himself into being the third QB on the roster. It's different than last year. He's not the second QB. He's not the, he's not the first guy in if Deshaun goes down. Now, what scares me is when I heard that they were potentially fielding calls for Jameis.
Yeah,
there's no way you can trade Jameis in my opinion. He is,
I agree.
You went out and you signed him for a reason, and there's no way DTR did enough in the preseason to say he should be the number two, because DTR essentially did what he did last year in the preseason. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
And I think you can call a game the way you want to call it for Jameis, and I feel like if DTR plays, even with isn't as much as he's improved supposedly. I guess he had a really great camp. We saw him, he played well in the preseason games. You still, I feel like, are going to call more of a scaled back ball control offense with DTR. And then I feel like with Jameis, you can just go out and call a grown-up offense. You don't have to change your game plan. Maybe you take out some of the design runs because he's not as mobile as Watson, but the guy's thrown for 5,000 yards, you know, in a season before, and you know, 30 touchdowns. Like, you can just go out there and let him play football. You might get stuck with a turnover or two, but you don't have to put the handcuffs on him. And so I don't think there's any world in which Jameis Winston is not on the Browns. I feel like that's crazy talk. I don't know what you guys think.
I agree, man. I honestly, when I saw that too, the Jameis trade talk, I was super shocked. But also at the same time, I'm like, there's no way in hell. And then like 4 hours later, they're like pretty much saying that, like, yeah, Jameis is not on the table. But I'm with you guys. You guys kind of touched on it already. I think at the end of the day, Huntley's probably the odd man out. Huntley's probably the guy that's getting traded. Whenever they had dropped the roster, it was like very, like Josh said, it was alarming, like seeing four quarterbacks and two running backs. So I'm on the same page. I think Huntley gets moved. You got Deshaun, you've got Jameis, you know, that you can turn to. And like you said, you've seen him do it. You know he's capable of doing it. And then you have DTR, who's the project still. And you know, he's safe still on the roster.
I saw something, and I didn't look into it much, but did the Ravens cut a quarterback?
Yes, God, shit, I saw it.
If you're the Browns, do you trade Huntley back to Baltimore if they want him? Because I'm not doing that.
Yeah, I wouldn't do that. I wouldn't help him. That.
No, I'm not. I'm not giving him a guy that knows their offense and, you know, knows their system and their organization back. And I'm definitely not giving him back after he's been in our organization. You know, and he knows the ins and outs of our offense. I'm not doing that. So I saw something about that online, and I was like, if I'm Andrew Berry, there's no way I'm making that trade. I'm not doing that. I'm not doing them any favors.
100% agree with that.
Anything else offensively kind of catch you by surprise?
I don't know about surprise, but one thing I was very excited to see, and you know, we did our Dog Pack Discord show reacting to the game on Sunday, and one guy that we talked about, and I said on that show that I think he's a lock to make the roster, was Javian Cohen, the UDFA offensive guard out of Miami. And I went back and I was looking through his preseason stats. The dude played, and I said this on the show, he's played so much in the preseason. I feel like he was out there for pretty much the entire time, except for when we had Teller starting and Zinter in that last game. But after that, it was back to Cohen. And I think he played both right and left at different points. He played 168 total snaps in the preseason. That was fourth most among guards. 122 pass blocking snaps. That was the most. And he gave up zero sacks, one quarterback hit, and just total seven pressures on 122 snaps. So he was one of those kids that, you know, we were really high on in the pre-draft process and talking about the Browns maybe getting him in like the fourth, fifth round. Maybe he slips a little further, but we'd have to get him in that area. And then we got him UDFA, and here he is. He made the team. So I was very excited to see that.
I know that was one of the guys, like you said, we kind of, I feel like everybody thought he was going to get drafted.
Yeah.
And then for him to not get drafted and us to be able to sign him as an undrafted free agent, now he makes it. I mean, that's just, Andrew Berry's kind of done that a few times with guys like Ronnie Hickman, DeAnthony Bell. Like, we've found a couple, Diabati. We found some diamonds in the rough, you know, in the undrafted free agent market.
Yep.
I was just going to ask real quick on offense. I know there's a lot of, I've been seeing the outrage a little bit online that we kept David Bell over Mike Woods on the initial 53 active roster, I guess. I mean, Mike Woods is still here, practice squad and all that, but you know, David Bell, what'd he play? A couple snaps, had one catch, hurt his quad, missed the rest of the preseason and training camp. But they must feel like he's healthy enough and ready to come back for the season, right?
So I just think the Browns are higher on him than almost anybody else is, at least like in on the internet and Browns fandom. I kind of mentioned when we first talked about the offensive roster, Tillman and Woods kind of same body type, I feel like, same kind of player, and they think Tillman's probably better. And I would agree. Maybe David Bell is the kind of, I mean, he's like a, he can be a Cole Beasley type player in a Ken Dorsey offense, you know, and a guy who can work in space, great route runner, good hands. So, you know, maybe they just see a lot of possibilities for him in this wide open offense where he can just kind of operate in space and find soft spots in the zone. And that's kind of his forte. So I was super excited 2 years ago when we drafted David Bell. I thought he was going to be like our offensive breakout player rookie. I think I picked him when we did that episode a couple years ago, and it hasn't really come to fruition. Now, he did have the big touchdown late in the season last year on that kind of the busted coverage, but I'm excited to see what he can do in the Ken Dorsey offense with a hopefully 100% healthy Deshaun and a more wide open, more modern passing game. So I did feel for Mike Woods, though, because I thought he played well enough in this preseason and also what he was doing last preseason before the injury that it would maybe almost force the end of the Browns to carry seven receivers. And you know, we in only nine offensive linemen, we're carrying 10 right now. So I was a little surprised to see him be cut. Now I'm happy to see Mike Woods back on the practice squad and still be in the organization, because I think, I mean, he looks like there's a high ceiling there for Mike Woods, I think.
This episode is brought to you by Bodden Sports. Browns fans, Bodden Sports is your one-stop shop for all your athletic gear. Bodden started out perfecting and manufacturing the best balls in the business. Yeah, if that sounded dirty, that's more about your mind than my words. But hey, it's true. Baseballs, softballs, footballs, basketballs, volleyballs, soccer balls, you name it, and Bodden has engineered the highest standard sports balls available. And now they offer more than just sports balls. If you got kids playing baseball or softball, Bodden has batting gloves and bats to go along with both game balls and training balls. If you're into basketball, Bodden makes basketball specifically for indoor or outdoor use. Heck, Bodden even has all the equipment you need for pickleball, which is one sport that I hear everyone is playing and yet I still never have. And I need to fix that soon. But don't miss the backyard game section of Bodden's website, where you can order everything you need for this upcoming outdoor season. Pool balls, backyard volleyball nets, croquet, bocce, horseshoes, cornhole, and more. Right now, you can get 10% off your entire order at Bodden Sports, BADENSports.com/dogs, DAWGS, and use promo code dogs when you check out. That's 10% off all the top quality sporting gear you need this season. BADENSports.com/dogs.
At Kroger Pharmacy, care is making it easy to get vaccinated. Care is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. Care is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.
If you're a facilities manager at a warehouse and your HVAC system goes down, it can turn up the heat, literally. But don't sweat it, Grainger has you covered. Grainger offers over a million industrial-grade products for all your operations, including warehouse HVAC maintenance. And even better, they offer access to experts and fast delivery, so you and your warehouse can both keep your cool. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Hi there, my name's Aaron Matek.
And I'm Katie Halper.
And we are Useful Idiots, the irreverent politics podcast calling out corporate politicians and their media stenographers.
Here, no one is safe from our ridicule. A wise journalist once said that all news can fit into the four basic food groups of news.
The four food groups are Democrats suck, Republicans suck, isn't that weird, and isn't that terrible. Each week, we deep dive on one news story from each category, covering the 2024 election, America's endless proxy wars, and so much more.
Plus, we host weekly interviews with politicians, journalists, writers, rock stars, comedians, and more.
Past guests include Noam Chomsky, Roger Waters, Abby Martin, Noor Erekat, Oliver Stone, Bernie Sanders, and David Cross.
So ditch corporate media and learn what's really going on in the world with Useful Idiots. New episodes drop every Friday wherever you get your podcasts.
While we're still talking about the offense and just, you know, initial thoughts when we saw it, I know when I first checked it out and they had Prochet off, I was super, super surprised because I was like, well, who the hell is doing our return? I've seen nobody else back there. So to see him not on the initial 53 was crazy. But then, like usual, a couple hours later, they pretty much announced, hey, I don't know how that all works out where he's going to end up on the team. Maybe just bring him up. Maybe they move somebody out. But he's pretty much going to be our main punt returner, correct?
Yeah, they said
like they'll just activate him.
Yeah, he's on the practice squad. And then each week they can activate so many players, right?
Okay.
Or some, I forget all the – all those roster rules are crazy.
Did you guys also see that they beat, they overturned the ruling about like the emergency quarterback.
Didn't even see any headlines on that. I just saw a quick post.
So essentially, like, I don't think the emergency QB can't just be like a 54th member or game day. Like, he has to be a part of your 53 game day roster now, which I don't know why they went back. I think it was the NFLPA like overturned it or vetoed it or something of that nature. I don't know if it had something to do with the pay. Like, you're telling this guy like he's on call essentially, but he's not getting being paid like he's on call. I don't know maybe how that worked or why they would go against that, but to me, it was definitely a bonus because you don't want to be like the Niners a few years ago where they're playing a second half of a football game without a quarterback and, you know, costing my chance of going to the Super Bowl. So I was a little surprised to see that. I did want to mention I saw Conklin and Jed. Jed was reactivated, right, too?
Correct, yeah.
In Conklin's practice, Jed hasn't practiced yet. And then I also saw Jack talking a little bit like he's fine with playing right or left, whatever needs to do. I know I didn't think Jack would ever play the left, mostly just because he's the vet. He's the guy who they brought in to be right tackle. He's like the former Pro Bowl, All-Pro right tackle. I don't know if he was ever All-Pro, but you get the point.
Yeah, he was All-Pro.
And I just didn't think they would be like, ask this guy to go do the other position because he's like the more veteran guy. They'd be like, let's move DeJuan over there. You know, Jack Conklin's paid his dues. He's a right tackle. But if they think he can do it better and Jack Conklin's comfortable with it, and you feel like DeJuan is going to be a better right tackle than left tackle, I'm just happy to know week one, we're not going to be rolling out James Hudson.
Mm-hmm. No kidding. I mean, you know, for Jack Conklin, though, the fact that he is the All-Pro, he's got that skill set, and he played left tackle in college. I think they trust him more if they end up using him at left tackle than trying to put a second-year guy who's still... I mean, DeJuan Jones played very well last year, but, I mean, he's still very much developing into an NFL starting caliber tackle, you know, full time. So I think keeping him where he's most comfortable makes sense as long as they feel like, hey, Jack's done this before. It's been a while, but you know, he's got this down. He can do it. So
here's a hypothetical for you. What Jack Conklin's back in practicing. Say Jed Wills doesn't start practicing until next week and he's got two practices under his belt. You put him out there at left tackle against the Cowboys with two practices under his belt, or do you let Jack Conklin play left tackle for the first game, DeJuan Jones at right tackle, and you got Jed in your back pocket, and, you know, in case of something crazy happens week one, and then Jed comes back week two with a couple more practices under his belt. Like, do you throw Jed out there that green after being off for so long?
I mean, I think if they did that, like, let's say hypothetically they did do that and they switch, you know, they put Jack over at left tackle. I think that they just have to have those conversations in the room and just have coaches going, hey, this is what's best, you know, because for Jed, as much as everybody dogs him, we bring it up, he was improving. So if he says, hey, I'm good to go and I'm ready to go, I think you trust him. You know what I mean? He's your left tackle. He's been very serviceable despite, you know, the effort things and stuff like that. So I think if he says, hey, I'm good to go, let me go against Micah, then sure. But, I mean, it's a big task. And if he's not 100% and good to go, then I think maybe you have some discussions.
Yeah, and if you move Jack over, and you move Jack over this game and he locks down Micah Parsons, or, you know, just like he plays crazy good. I don't know if you lock down Micah Parsons for a whole game, just like you don't lock down Myles Garrett, but he plays great. Do you say, hey, Jed, you're a more natural right tackle. And you move Jed back to right? I don't know. I feel like having all three of them healthy now gives you flexibility.
It does. The hypotheticals are really opening up the possibilities that the Browns could do with all three of these guys, which is, hey, that's a good problem to have considering last year we ended the season with none of them.
Yeah.
Also a good problem. Last week we were panicking that we didn't have two of them. Yeah, yes. Right. So...
No, them getting back and being activated and starting to practice, but like I feel I was a little bit doom and gloom on our live last time. I feel much better about the line heading into week one now. Obviously, they got to get into game shape and they might, you know, they haven't practiced a ton, but I feel much better about that than I did with what we were rolling out there in the preseason. So that was another thing I wanted to touch on the offense. We can kind of go over the defense. We can kind of bring it all together. Kept 9 defensive linemen, obviously Myles Garrett, good to see Shelby Harris and Mo Hurst back, Quentin Jefferson, Isaiah McGuire, Ogbo a rock and roll or Okinoro.
Hobo rock and roll, baby.
God damn, bro.
That is butchering to the highest degree right there.
Bad pronunciation.
Za'Darius Smith, Dalvin Tomlinson, and Alex Wright. Browns are, even with, which we're going to get into, the Mike Hall thing being on the exempt list, crazy deep at defensive line. Linebackers, Devin Bush, Muhammad Diabati, Tony Fields, Jordan Hicks, JOK, and Bookie Watson. And then 11 defensive back. Good to see our guy D. Bell making the roster, even with no practices in the preseason. Dude, I was worried for him, but apparently he's done it enough the last 2 years as a special teams ace, and then
yes,
being forced into playing defense last year, like meaningful snaps, that he's kind of solidified himself as a member of the Browns. Like I don't know if he's so much a bubble guy anymore as like he's a guy we can pretty much count on. Unless something crazy happens, he's going to be on the roster. So good to see D. Bell back on the roster. I'm excited to watch him play again this year. I'm glad he's healthy. Grant Delpit, Martin Emerson, Khalif Halisi. I hope I said that better than I said the other name. Miles Harden, Ronnie Hickman, Rodney McLeod, Cam Mitchell, Greg Newsome, Juan Thornhill, and Denzel Ward. Then obviously the specialist we all knew, Corey Bohorquez. I know how to say it.
This is great.
Dustin Hopkins and then Charlie Hewlett, obviously the guy who's been on the Browns since 1960. So defensive surprises, anything that caught you off guard or is pretty standard?
I mean, your pronunciations caught me off guard for sure.
Yeah,
they shouldn't, you know me.
That's true. No, I mean, the defensive side of the ball for me was pretty much chalk. I thought this is how it's going to go.
Yeah, agreed.
Yeah.
Yep.
I mean, cornerbacks I had, safeties, linebacker. I mean, yeah, everything.
I guess the biggest thing I want to talk about on the defense then is just Mike Hall and Siaki Ika.
Yeah.
Yep. Not only was Ika not practice squad, he's just straight up gone. And I'll be
– yeah.
Maybe he gets another shot somewhere because he was a third-round draft pick just a year ago. But, man, if you can't make it work in a Jim Schwartz defense, you know, he's kind of a defensive line specialist. You know, we got Mike Brabel here this year helping with – he was bad. I mean, we saw people – there was – he almost looked like he's not an NFL caliber football player.
Nah, man.
Like, and that's rough.
Didn't Jim Schwartz want this guy? Wasn't he kind of his main advocate or whatever? I mean, we all make mistakes and everything, but I mean, like you said, Blake, watching Siaki Ika in the preseason, I mean, dude, you're not going against the starting offensive line. You're not going against the second string offensive line when Ika was in.
No.
I mean, he was going against other guys that just got cut the other day too. So his ass was on the ground pretty much every play. Tough. I mean, I saw him getting bullied and manhandled out there, and I was like, man, this guy doesn't have a shot.
And I was excited. I mean, there were some people who weren't super high on the Ika pick, and I didn't know enough about him, but I was excited to get a big run stuffing, especially coming off a year in which we couldn't stop the run.
Yeah.
You know, I was excited to get a big run stuffing D lineman to play in Jim Schwartz defense to go with Dalvin Tomlinson. And I mean, last year he's just like healthy scratch after healthy scratch. Mm-hmm. He can't even get on. And I'm like, what is going on? This is a third round draft pick, and he can't even dress on game days. And then he transforms the body in the off season, and he lived on his butt. And yep. So I don't know what's going on there, but I'll almost be shocked to see him on another roster anywhere. So obviously he cleared waivers, so he's free to sign anywhere he wants. Yep. But I feel bad for Ika because I was excited for him, and you know, I feel bad for the Browns because if you roll in Mike Hall, who I'm assuming will get to play for the Browns eventually, but that's three defensive linemen whiffs in a row. If you go back to Perrion
Winfrey,
who is the fourth? Who am I
forgetting? Oh, maybe not draft pick. Sorry.
Oh, I was thinking. I mean,
go ahead.
They whiffed on Togi.
Yeah,
that's right.
Yeah, that's true. The Togi and the Winfrey runs to me are in Perrion are a little bit easier to swallow because they're a little bit later draft picks. Except I don't feel like people can fault Andrew Berry a ton for taking a swing on Perrion Winfrey, because if you Browns Nation was so pumped to get him.
Yes.
Yeah, everybody wanted him. You know what I mean? Now, if we kind of talk about the Mike Hall situation, it annoys the crap out of me. I'm not gonna lie. Like, I know she recanted, and I mean, we've seen some more information come out. My annoyance, and obviously I give Andrew Berry a ton of flowers on his show all the time, but do we not vet the guys? And this is the same, this is his fiance and the mom of his child. But just, I think it was last year.
Yeah.
She was arrested for domestic violence against him for, I think, breaking a bottle over his head or something. And they obviously both of them have issues, obviously. So how is that not setting? Like, you've just gone through the thing. Who is the dude who had some issues that we signed
from Seattle? That's
Malik McDowell.
Yes, Malik McDowell. So you had these issues, and then you had Perrion Winfrey issues. Like, this isn't setting off red flags? Are you not investigating, or do you just literally not care about character at all? You know, and again, we've been on here saying, like, if you're looking for the highest character guys and you're looking for Saints, don't watch the NFL. But at the same time, if you're a guy, you just keep, it's, what's the definition of insanity? Doing the same thing over and over again and expecting a different result? Like, he's still with this lady. We just watched an NBA player not get drafted for a long time, fell because he had a girlfriend that was, like, odd, you know, and teams were scared of that. And we have, and then the Browns go and draft a guy who's clearly in a toxic relationship that is, I'm sure it's been this way the whole time. I mean, should have been setting off red flag after red flag after red flag. And we take it, and we didn't just, so take him in the fifth, because, you know, other teams, like, some people said we kind of, like, we didn't need to take him where we took him. We maybe could have got him in the fourth, because I feel like some of these character flaws came up in investigations. I didn't know about him because I'm not an NFL GM and I wasn't hiring private investigators to look into people. But then the police reports for this stuff are all public information. So what are we, like, just, that's a wasted third round draft pick that who knows when he's going to get to play. And there were other guys on the board that we could have drafted. So it's not just not having Mike Hall. It's not having Mike Hall or any of the other talented guys that were there in the third round.
Yeah, opportunity
that we
cost.
Now don't have.
Right.
So that again, I give Andrew Berry props all the time for what he does. But, like, this is something to me, like, this is a lot on the front office. Obviously, Mike Hall is an adult. I mean, grown man. He's got to, you know, take care of what he's supposed to take care of. But as a GM who has reportedly been burnt by things like this, when I'm doing my investigating pre-draft, like, this guy's probably off my board. I'm not drafting this guy. And we take him in the third round when there's other talented guys. It was the second.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He was our first pick.
I'm an idiot. The second. Yeah. So holy cow. That's a big time miss, in my opinion. Like, if you're going to take a chance on guys that maybe have some character flaws, you do it in, like, Perrion. Perrion was, what, fourth or fifth round draft pick?
Yeah, one of those. I forget. Yeah.
You do it. You don't do it with the second round draft pick. Like, that's to me, that's a problem. Like, you got to, at some point, character has to play at least a tiny role in some of the guys you're picking because of things like this.
I don't know how you guys feel, but I was surprised just to even see him stay on the team. You know what I mean? Like, just through the whole process of where we're at to this point, I've seen, you know, guys get kicked off of teams for less. Now, obviously, who knows when he's coming off that list, but I mean, it is what it is at this point. Everything that, you know, like, that I read about with his character issues and stuff, it was like a immaturity thing. They chalked it as immaturity. You know what I mean? Just kind of growing up, doing just little stupid things that, you know, I'm sure all three of us did as kids, but, this is pretty serious. Like, you know, this is stuff that everyday citizens go to jail for the rest of their life.
This wasn't, you know, public urination while you're outside of a bar. You know what I mean? Like, and I know she recanted. So, and we got to let the criminal justice system play itself out. But the whole reason we always went on the show and we defended the Deshaun signing was the lack of evidence. She can recant all she wants. There's still tons of physical evidence against this guy. like we can connect the dots. You know, I mean, she recanted. Let's be honest. She recanted because he was like, hey, I'm not going to have any money to pay for our children if you go through with this. And so, and remember that time you broke a bottle over my head? So let's just call it even. And so to me, I don't know. I don't know how you guys feel. Like I wanted to cut him. And they didn't cut him. And then they, not only did they not cut him, he's on practice for the very next day. And to which to me was a terrible look by the Browns. A team that, again, as we just talked about the last time, it's keeps signing guys with issues. And then now I feel like once you get put on this exempt list, it can turn into, I mean, sometimes it's like purgatory. You go there and you're just stuck there for who knows how long. And then the once you're on there for X, however long, then they decide they're going to suspend you. So, I mean, who knows if Mike Hall even suits up this year?
Yeah, I mean, for me, the whole thing was bizarre. Like, the police reports, the arrest, what they charged him with, you know, the bail. Like, everything just, it was so, like, nothing lined up to a point where you're like, well, this is exactly the way it went. So, I mean, I understand why the Browns didn't outright cut him, because I think there was obviously more information to come out. You know, she recanted, whether, you know, that was truthful or she was just doing it for money, we don't know. I mean, we can speculate, but we honestly don't know. But I do agree that probably a bad look to have him out on the field the very next day. I was surprised at that big time. I thought for sure, like, let's just get this guy in the building and keep him in a, let's get a counselor in here and let's try to work some things out. That, he doesn't need to be on the field.
I'm with you 100%. Like, I wouldn't even, I said, Blake said it, I'm pretty sure he said, hey, stay at home and then, like, get the guy some help.
Yeah.
Get, you know what I mean? Get him, whatever. Get him, you know, I don't know exactly how that shit works, but you know what I mean? Get him somebody to talk to. Get him a relationship, you know, coach or whatever, however the hell that goes. I don't know what the hell that's called either, but you know what I mean? Get him both of those.
Yeah, I'm not saying it had to end his career, which, I mean, some people might say, I mean, if he hit her and drug her out, some people are going to say it needs to end his career, and I wouldn't argue with those people. But I also think that people can, you know, turn themselves around. So, I mean, I know it's obviously different, but the Rams and Stenson Bennett, they drafted him. I'm pretty sure it was alcohol issues. He had problems with alcohol. And so they just sent him away. But they didn't just forget about him. They got him the help he needed. And then he came out, and now he's on the team. And he played well in the preseason, all that good. Like, at the end of the day, like, just don't have this guy around. Get him. Do what you got to do off camera. Get him his help. And then if we see him next year and he's shown a lot of maturity, then good for us. We did the right thing. But to just be like, you bring him back is just wild to me. Like, that's just, I don't know. I didn't like that. I'm not going to, I defend the Browns a lot, but that's not something I was going to defend the Browns on. So that kind of sucks for the defense, because he, I mean, as much as I'm giving him crap, he played well in the preseason. He looks like he has a chance to be a game wrecker, and we were excited for the possibilities of having, you know, potentially four guys on the field at one time that can get after the passer. I mean, you would go with him and Miles and Oboe and Za'Darius Smith all on the field at this. That's dudes who can get after,
or Dalvin.
Sure. Yeah.
throw him next to Dalvin.
Yeah. So that's in terms of just strictly football, it sucks, because I was excited for the possibilities, and I know Jim Schwartz was excited to see what he could come up with to do with himself.
I know I said something today about, you know, losing Mike Hall, just not having him available to play this year. That's a big loss, or a huge loss for the Browns defensive line. And a lot of people are saying that's not a huge loss. He wasn't going to play much. He's not a starter. He's just a developmental guy. Yeah, exactly. I'm like, a hard disagree. I mean, he was going to be a pass rush rotational guy. Like, yeah, he might not be out there snap one, but if you get the first, say you stuff the first run or whatever on a drive and it's second and 10, second and 9, he's coming in.
He's out there the next two plays, probably.
Yes, exactly. And he's coming up that middle. And like I was saying all preseason, just watching him play, he might not be the one getting his hand on the quarterback, but he is going to make it very difficult for the rest of the line to block the other guys who are very good at getting after the quarterback. So, yeah, losing him, this just sucks. It sucks.
He was
all around
early second round pick. He wasn't a developmental guy. He was like you said, he might not have been the starting defensive tackle. He was going to play meaningful snaps.
Yes.
From day one.
Yep.
He was going to be in there.
This episode is brought to you by Manly Bands. Dog Pack, if you followed the show for a while, you know that I recently got married. I got my wedding band at Manly Bands. Now, I opted for something a little more simple, so I just got a plain, simple, gold, polished band from Manly Bands, but that's not everybody, and I'm telling you, they've got so many cool different designs and materials available. They've got stuff. They've got bands made out of Jack Daniel's whiskey barrels, meteorites, even dinosaur bones. It's so cool. Just head to manlybands.com, check out the selection, see what they have. They've even got build your own bands if you want to make a custom style band for yourself. And right now, use promo code DAWGS, D-A-W-G-S, at manlybands.com when you check out, and you'll get 25% off your order. 25% is a big deal. So make sure, if you guys are looking for a new wedding band, Blake mentioned last week or two on the show that, you know, he's lost a lot of weight in the last year. And so his wedding band is a little too big for him. So he's thinking about getting a new one. And I told him, I said, just go to Manly Band, see what they got. And the 25% off your order is such a great deal. You really can't beat it. So at least go check it out, see what they have. They've got some really cool stuff. And again, promo code DAWGS, D-A-W-G-S, if you decide to buy one, and you'll get 25% off of that purchase. If you don't know your ring size, you can order a free ring size guide. They'll ship it straight to you. You can punch out the little rings and put them on your finger to see which size fits you best. And then every single band you order comes with a free silicone ring for whenever you want to work out or go swimming or whatever you need a silicone band for. You get one for free shipped with your purchase of a Manly Band from manlybands.com. So check it out. Again, manlybands.com. Use promo code DAWGS for 25% off your order.
But I did, this kind of opened the door then for some AB haters where they're like, he just can't draft anybody, secondary players. Well, one, he's pretty good at that, so I don't hate that. But two, I saw something online, and then I also know Kenny sent something in the Dog Pack in terms of, like, if you go round by round, how many guys reach a second contract each round. It is, first of all, even first round players, it's a low percentage that get to a second contract. So to consider, if you're not a first round draft pick, you're not a bust, basically, because if that's the case, 80% of people drafted are busts, because the from second round, third round, fourth round, fifth round, all the way down to seventh, every round you go, the percentage of people who reach a second contract plummets. The league is 35-40% undrafted free agents for a reason. Like, the average NFL career is what, 3 years? Something crazy small. So to just pretend like AB isn't a good GM because he doesn't hit on 100% of his draft picks and he doesn't re-sign 100% of these, that's stupid. None of them do. All of your favorite GMs who you guys think are great, they all miss on most of their draft picks. The draft is a crapshoot. It's why you see crazy spending in free agency, because you're going out and you're getting proven players. The draft, it just based even on percentages, the draft is an absolute crap. No matter how much you study, no matter how much you film you watch, no matter how good the guy was in college, it doesn't matter how they're going to transition to the NFL. You can never know until he gets there and puts the pads on and steps onto the field. So to hold AB to some imaginary standard of he has to hit on every single draft pick all the time is just stupid.
I've seen a lot of people saying that he sucks and we need to get rid of him because he's not able to draft a number one wide receiver. Like, what? Why is that the bar? Like, oh, he didn't draft an alpha elite receiver. Do you know how many of those there are in the NFL? Like five? You think they're just floating around in every draft and every round that every GM has a chance to get? What's he supposed to do? I mean, I think he's getting good. We talk about all the time. He uses the draft to get good depth pieces, developmental pieces, guys for the future, and then he uses free agency and very savvy trades to get the studs. I mean, Amari Cooper for a fifth, I don't need you to draft a wide receiver one.
Correct. There it is. Yep. With the Andrew Berry, like, I don't really, the draft picks is important, sure, okay, or it isn't, but I just look at the roster in total. Look at the roster, and as Browns fans, we go, oh, well, this one player out of the entire roster that's not working, the season's going to fall apart. that is seriously crazy. Look at where we were 15 years ago. There wasn't five positions as far as five guys that were worth being on the field. And you have a loaded roster. We're talking about Aiden Robbins and guys like that getting cut because there's no position open on the roster. It's a set roster last year, and they improved it. So I don't understand the Andrew Berry hate. For me, I look at the team and I go, it's a pretty good damn team. He built a pretty good team. I'll take my chances with this.
Yeah, you look up and down the roster, what, we had Thrash made it.
Yep.
Intern made it. Obviously, we already touched on Cohen. Am I missing anybody?
Every person that we drafted this year made the roster, except for obviously Mike Hall's on the exempt list, but everybody made it. Well, I'm sorry.
Okay.
Jawan Briggs in the seventh round is on the practice squad.
Yep.
Okay.
That's a big dude from Cincinnati, right?
Yes.
I'm not just imagining that.
And he looked good in the preseason. I mean, that's why Eakins is not here.
So, yeah, like, come on, guys. First of all, if you're going to draft, guess where elite number one receivers get drafted? In the top 10.
Yes.
Yeah. In the top five. Well, guess where we haven't been picking? And you can, even if we didn't trade for Deshaun, say we had all of our first round draft picks we weren't picking in the top 10.
No.
Right.
Maybe the very first year, I don't remember what that pick would have been, but outside of that, we weren't picking in the top 10. So, come on, don't be stupid, guys. The Browns have put together a receiver group that is, like, to me, it's balanced. They're maybe missing like an elite guy like a Jefferson, but like you said, there's five of those guys. You know, we have one of the more well-rounded wide receiver groups, I think, in the NFL. At least in my opinion. And, yeah. I mean, they got to go out and do it, but at least on paper, I think we're very well-rounded.
I agree, and I was just pleasantly surprised this whole preseason with Jamari Thrash. You know, we've seen Andrew Berry draft these rookie receivers, and they come in, and, you know, they don't really pop that well, or they just, you know, they're kind of up and down in the preseason. But it seemed like Jamari, and I know Thrash was a little bit older of a prospect. I think he was, what, five or whatever years in college. But you can see the maturity. Like, he knows what to do. He understands offense. He knows where to be for his quarterback, runs his routes, gets open. I feel like he was always open. So I'm very, very pleased with him.
He was named the 2024 recipient of the Maurice Bassett Award, which is given to the Browns' most outstanding rookie in training camp as voted by the media. So he played extremely well in the preseason. I'm excited for what he can do. And a lot of guys in the so we have some Kentucky fans in the dog pack, so they always hate on him because he went to Louisville. But we have some other guys in there who are a little bit more open-minded, I guess. and they like what they've seen. And the one guy's always talking about coming out of the draft, this guy was Steve Smith Sr.'s favorite wide receiver. Steve Smith knows a thing or two about playing wide receiver. Now, I hope he's wrong about Jerry Jeudy. because I don't know if you remember when he just really ripped on Jerry Jeudy.
Yeah.
So hopefully he's wrong there. But I also feel like that was a little bit more personal, like him and Jeudy kind of beef. But Jamari Thrash, I'm excited to see what he can do. He's got the dog in him. Like, he's athletic.
Yeah.
He's not afraid of the moment. I'm excited to see what he can do. Well, I think we've pretty much covered the entirety of the roster and even some extra stuff. anything else you guys want to get into? Other surprises?
I was just going to say, like, for anybody watching, listening to this episode, at the moment you're listening to this, I'm sure we've made more moves and we've made more changes because this week has been just a news frenzy. I can't even, like, keep up with everything that's happening.
I guess we can, before we wrap it up, this just, obviously we're going to do a game preview episode, but just week one, where do you think, if 10 is we look amazing and one is pitiful, how are we going to look?
Eight.
I mean, I guess it depends on what do you mean by look? I would probably put it somewhere in that, like, 6-7, just because Dallas has such a good defense. If you're talking about our offense. Now, our defense, man, at home last year, our defense was like a 9 on average. Most of the times a 10. They were so good.
I do think, which I do think that Dallas is going to have a hard time running the ball against us. If they're, if they're bringing out Zeke Elliott as their number one back, I just don't see him shredding the Browns defense. At least I really hope not. So I think it's going to be a lot on Dak to drop back and make throws. And then that puts a lot of pressure on their offensive line with us having a healthy defensive line. So I think that's good. I'm nervous about the offense.
Yep.
And I'm very, and I know I said I want to see us hit the ground running. It'd be great from week one. I know that doesn't, I don't expect us to look mid-season form and, you know, just come out and drop 60 points and look like we just haven't skipped a beat. But I want it to not look like an absolute struggle. And I don't want it to look like we're incompetent and it's just three and out, three and out, three and out, three and out. Can't move the ball, can't run the ball, can't, like, I obviously have realistic expectations. The offenses always start slow compared to defenses in the beginning of the season. But I want to at least come out of this game being like, okay, I think the offense is going to be good in 2 to 3 weeks. Like, we'll really be hitting our stride. I don't want to come out going, oh my God, what is going on? Like, we can't do anything. We can't run the ball. We're throwing the ball into the ground. Nobody's open. None of our receivers can separate. Like, that's what I am watching for, and to just briefly covering it. Like, that's what I'm the most nervous for, is I'm nervous for the offense.
I think the biggest concern I have is the run game, just because of how last season, the second half of the season was so bad. And then all we saw the entire preseason, and I get it, I know it was backups and all that stuff, but just, I mean, we couldn't even get like 3 yards of carry most of the time. It was like two. And it's just, man, yeah. It concerns me.
I will say, as we're closing it up, as nervous as I am about the offense, I think we will be reminded very quickly at the vast difference between our starters and our second string.
I think so. I mean,
like, we're rolling out guys. We weren't even rolling out second string. We were rolling out third and fourth string guys a lot of times. So there's a huge difference between Za'Darius Smith and Myles Garrett and Isaiah McGuire. You know what I mean? Yeah. So I think we're going to be reminded of that very quick, but because of what I just watched and all that good stuff, like, I'm just nervous. It'll go away, you know, hopefully by the end of the first quarter, I'll feel relief. But until the ball snapped and I see our offense in motion, I see some bright spots and I see us doing some things, I'm just going to be nervous. So it's good nerves, I guess. I think we can do it, but I just want to see it with my own eyes. So we'll go ahead and wrap it up. I got to go play with my child and let her know that I'm still her dad, because I've been gone all day and now I'm recording the podcast. So that's look at what I'm doing for you guys, the listeners. I know.
Jesus Christ, bro.
So I'm being a poor father for you. But we'll go ahead and wrap this thing up. We appreciate you guys watching. We've officially made it. It's no longer the off season. I think we're doing an episode next week talking about a real life important football game.
Yep.
I'm pumped. We made it. I feel like it went by quick. And that was because you guys hung out with us every single week, even though there was nothing good to talk about. You watch this draft, hot dogs or hamburgers and drafts. So
let me say this too. We are, as of this moment, 100 subs. That's it. Away from 10K.
Oh, man, get us to that.
Sub, please. If you're watching, you haven't subbed, just click the button. Just click the button.
Help us out. I remember when we only had 10 after the one. Yeah. So if we can get to, you know, more than that, that would be very cool. So, but we appreciate you guys hanging out with us for an entire off season. We're super excited to watch meaningful football with you guys going forward. Let us know what you guys think about the Browns' initial roster cuts. Were there any surprises? Any guys that we don't have anymore that you were hoping would still be around? Anybody you think we should go after that's currently a free agent that was cut off another team? Just let us know your overall thoughts on the roster and how it stands as of now. Again, like I've said a million times, we appreciate you guys watching episodes with us, hanging out with us every single week. We'll see you guys next week when we talk about a real life football game, the upcoming Dallas Cowboys. Have a good one and go high school football this week.
Thanks for listening to another episode of the Dogs Podcast. Make sure you subscribe on YouTube and follow us on Twitter at the Dogs Podcast. Get your thoughts on the show at thedogspodcast.com.
This episode is brought to you by Danger Coffee. Browns fans, we talk about how Danger Coffee is made free from mold toxins that are in 45% of the world's coffee, but that's not all that Danger Coffee has to offer. Mineral and nutrient deficiencies are a big deal. They make you feel sick, tired, stressed, and they can give you brain fog. These deficiencies negatively affect your immune system, your digestion, sleep, metabolism. Have you ever wondered why you get an initial burst from your coffee, but then you get that little crash not long after? Danger Coffee's patent-pending process remineralizes your body with more than 50 trace minerals and electrolytes, leaving you more energized, engaged, powerful. These micronutrients enter the cells to boost performance. They bind to toxins to provide detoxification support. I know that sounds like a lot, but the bottom line, guys, is minerals matter. And most of us really don't get enough of them on a daily basis. Danger Coffee delivers micronutrients, plus it gives you access to the minerals you already have. Head to dangercoffee.com, use our code DOGS, D-A-W-G-S, for 10% off your order. And that code can be used over and over. So you get 10% off every order you make using code DOGS. It's time to start every day off with a cup of coffee that gets you going and actually keeps you going. Dangercoffee.com, code DOGS.
At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.
At Nutrafol, we don't just help your hair, we help your body grow it. Because it's never just about your hair. It can be your job or your deodorant or your lunch or just normal life. That's why our whole body approach targets the key root causes of hair thinning. Discover your root causes and why we're the number one dermatologist recommended hair growth supplement brand at Nutrafol.com. That's Nutrafol.com. These statements have not been approved by the FDA. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease paid for by Nutraceutical Wellness, Inc.